welcome to our CSA podcast series. My name's Cass Pendlebury. I'm the Exec Officer for New South Wales and the ACT, and I also hold the National Portfolio for Curriculum. And today I'm going to be joined by two of the staff and executive from Avondale University College. And we're going to be discussing one of their current books, which is Revealing Jesus in the Learning Environment. So welcome Bev Christian, who is the head of School of Education and Science, and she has a strong background in primary teaching. And also welcome Peter Kilgore, who's the Dean of Research, and he has a very strong background in secondary maths teaching. So welcome Bev and Peter.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Lovely to have you with us today. So you've just published your second book from the Christian Education Research Centre at Avondale titled Revealing Jesus in the Learning Environment. So, Bev, can you tell us a bit about what actually inspired the title?
Certainly. Peter and I had long been convinced that Christian education was not about trying to pull the sacred into the secular, but rather that it was about recognising that all we do as Christian educators is a holy work. Christian educators are called to reveal Jesus, not insert Jesus, into their teaching, their conversation, their curriculum, their policy writing, in fact, into every aspect of the learning environment. This was the idea that framed our title, Revealing Jesus in the Learning Environment.
That's beautiful. I love that concept of not inserting, but revealing. So thanks, Bev. And Peter, could you let us know what's included in the collection and why the particular articles that are there were chosen?
Yeah, sure. Well, this is a broad range of chapters in this book, and it's purposely broad. Because there are so many ways and means. In fact, everything we do in Christian education should be designed to reveal Jesus in some way. So this is broad ranging. It goes from philosophy to history. It includes early childhood. It includes school-based. It includes tertiary. It includes articles on reflection. It's got one on the impact of teachers on Bible lands tours. It's got stuff on special needs. It's got what sort of graduates institutions are looking for from a Christian tertiary institution. So you'll see it is really a very broad range to reflect our belief that, as I said before, that everything we do in Christian education should be revealing Jesus.
Great, thank you. I've actually started reading a few of the articles, so getting familiar with them. And I was particularly interested in your article, Bev, which you titled Close Encounters, and you discussed the impact of a study tour in the Bible lands on a group of teachers. So can you share with us some of those experiences and particularly the effect that the tour had on the educators themselves?
Yes, definitely. I was very privileged to participate in this tour with a group of Christian educators that range from administrators to those who specifically taught the biblical lessons classes to those who may have been maths teachers. You know, they weren't specifically teaching religion. And it was absolutely fascinating to survey them before and after the tour, to observe them, and to interview them on that particular journey. And I found that the Bible Land study tour impacted the educators both personally and professionally. And I thought I'd just let a couple of the participants speak for themselves. And so one person actually wrote in their open-ended survey while we were on the tour, "This is as much a spiritual tour as it is an educational one. We are on a journey of understanding people and culture. When you do this, you realize it's about relationships, and we are trying to maintain, / rekindle, / find a relationship with Jesus that then impacts our relationship with our students and others we meet." So, you know, this was the feeling of many of the people on the trip. And just one other brief reflection. At the end of the day, when we had been in the Galilee area and gone to the Mount of Blessings, and this participant said, "I sat on the Mount of Blessings today and reflected on the words of Jesus from Matthew 5. This time away from the classroom is a time of reflection for me, a time to take stock of my relationship with the one who changed history with each footprint, each touch, and each word. I hope I can capture the atmosphere to share with my students." And so along the way on this journey, we all gained a lot of experiential knowledge and understanding of the Bible. But I followed up this trip with a survey nearly 4 years after the study tour because I wanted to discover what, if any, impact the Bible Land study tour had on the people who went and on the learning environment that they were in. And on a personal level, they indicated a deeper relationship with Jesus, a maturing faith, and changes to their Bible reading and prayer habits that were continuing on long past the trip. On a professional level, they felt that the Bible Land study tour had added authenticity, empathy, passion, and insights when sharing the Bible or other aspects of Christianity with their students.
Isn't that beautiful? I actually just wrote a blog for our website too and talked about the importance of authenticity in teaching and curriculum. And, you know, when you've had that kind of experience of actually, you know, being there, I would imagine the students would pick that up immediately, that this teacher has had a real live experience and is transferring that to their teaching. So that's fabulous. Thank you, Bev. I'm jealous I didn't go, actually.
It was wonderful, and I just wish that every Christian teacher could have that experience.
Absolutely. I travelled with a very close Christian friend to Turkey the year before last, and even just, you know, walking in Paul's footsteps in many places, it changed my thinking and the way I approach what I'm doing when I came home. So I can only imagine the impact it had on those teachers. So thank you. And Peter, your article is about pre-service teachers and their perceptions of performance. So can you just unpack some of the key ideas you explored and the outcomes of your study?
Yeah, sure. We're operating on a two-level basis here. Not only are we trying to produce a Christ-centered learning environment at tertiary level, but we're trying to help potential teachers to know how to and to be able to create that environment on the many different classes that they're going to be teaching in their careers. So for the graduate class each year, I give them a survey where they rate themselves on many aspects, including the 37 AITSL dot points graduate teacher standards that we have to do, which is very easy to force other more important things out sometimes, but also on their own ability to relate to students and to create that environment that we're actually looking for in the classroom. So I give this survey not just for me to collect data, but will actually help them reflect on where they're at after doing 4 years or 2 years, depending on the degree they're doing, learning to be a teacher. And when I analyse the data, I actually found out that students were much more comfortable with their own person and their ability to bond with students and build relationships than in most of the skills they'd learned while they're studying. Can be a little disconcerting for the lecturers who spent a lot of time making sure they've dealt with each of the graduate teacher standards. But on the other hand, it's very pleasing that those things they can learn over the years, but we know that from day one they realise the importance of building that relationship and creating that environment with the students in their classes. So, you know, I was delighted to see that Christian pre-service teachers actually get it. They understand what their role is going to be. And those other things that we're forced to teach because of our, keeping our accreditation, they've learnt them, but they've got them in the right place and they're going to get more professional at them as they go through their career.
It's all about perspective, really, isn't it? And we know as experienced educators that, you know, unless you've got that relationship with your students, they're not going to hear what it is that you, you know, really want them to understand and to learn, not just the AITSL standards, but as Christian educators, what you want them to hear and learn about Jesus. So that's really interesting, isn't it? And isn't it great that they got that, you know, that that was key for them straight away? Okay, that's wonderful. So we had a bit of a gathering before we recorded this podcast when I was up at Avondale recently, and we discussed the integration of faith and learning, and you both had some strong opinions around that phrase. So would you like to just share those with our audience?
Okay. Bev's pointed to me to go first, so
off you go then.
I shall do that. Look, after 42 years of being involved with Christian education, I reflect back to where it all started. And the way that I was introduced to the term integration of faith and learning, it sounded like a recipe for tokenism, which I didn't want to do right from the start. But being a maths teacher made the required paperwork a little bit more difficult in trying to implant, as Bev said before, implant Jesus into the curriculum. But in the end, I never had a problem integrating biblical content with learning. But implanting biblical content with learning is not the same thing as integrating faith and learning. And you know, nurturing faith is a whole other thing and is deeply personal and involves a whole lot more than just looking for ways. For me as a secondary maths teacher, that the Bible includes mathematics. So that's why over the years, that's why we chose the topic for the book.
Revealing
Jesus in the learning environment, because as educators over the years, we've all heard about the hidden curriculum, you know, which is a whole lot more than what's written in curriculum documents. And that's why the book is so diverse in the chapters. It reflects our belief in what the integration of faith and learning really is.
We actually use in our God's Big Story approach, we use the term illumination, which I actually came to after, you know, reading a lot to pull that project together, a lot around, you know, biblical integration of faith and learning. And I thought, we don't have to integrate anything. God's in everything. He's already there. Jesus is already there. Our job as educators is to illuminate that for our students. And I, you know, I think that's a powerful way of thinking about it too. He's already in maths. You know, all the foundational concepts of maths just reveal God's character. So it's just a process of illumination.
Yeah, I like that word illumination.
Yeah, I did too. It's the English teacher in me. Yeah. Sorry.
Feel to it. But yeah, I agree with Peter on the terms integration of faith and learning. And I don't doubt that it served a very good purpose and that it has prompted a lot of Christian teachers through time to think about things. But for me, the term integration suggests bringing together of two distinct ways of doing things, one being faith and the other being learning. And for the Christian educator, I don't think that faith and learning are mutually exclusive. I believe we learn through our faith and we grow our faith through our learning. It's, as long as it's properly understood, it probably has some value as a term. But we need to be careful because, as Peter said, it is something that is deeper and more personal that flows out of us.
And it can very easily become dualistic, you know, and we don't want that. We want to reveal Jesus, not shove him into the curriculum. So, Peter, when we were talking too, you talked about your first light bulb moment in Christian schooling in regards to the importance of curriculum to learning. And I think it was in New Zealand.
That's right, yes. It was my second school, my second year of teaching, my second school in Christchurch, New Zealand, and we had a visiting speaker come for a professional development, and he said a quote which I've remembered all those 40 years ago. Yes, he's quoted somebody else, and I'm not sure who it is, but the word stuck in my head, and that was, children are not vessels to be filled, but lamps to be lighted. That sort of woke me up to the idea of very tempting for secondary teachers to get carried away with their content material. But it was more than filling students' minds with mathematics, but it was to awaken them to the bigness of it and the idea of infinity and that God's over all of it. Mm-hmm. So that was the school based illumination, using your word, for me. The personal one, I think, is the day your first child is born. You suddenly realise why all the parents at the parent-teacher interviews are so pedantic about what you do, and they all think that their child is gifted. And then you suddenly realise how important each one of those children is to their parents, and that is a type or an example of how important each one of them is to God, and that makes the idea of Christian teaching all the more important and all the more valuable.
That's beautiful. And Bev, we talked about yours too. And would you like to share yours, your first light bulb moment?
I will. I guess my life has been a little series of light bulb moments, or different lenses that I've looked through. But I have to be honest and say that probably my biggest light bulb moment happened around mid-career. I was invited to do some curriculum writing. Now, there's nothing like putting your thoughts on paper to clarify your ideas. And so I went through a process at that time. Although I had always shared Jesus with my children prior to that time, I became really aware, I guess, at that point that as a Christian educator, I was sharing an epic narrative with my students that went from time's beginning to time's end, that involved the ultimate battle between good and evil, and that had at its centre a humble hero through whom we are saved and promised eternity. And that really excited me to see that when you're writing curriculum, you can actually look for these moments to tell God's big story. And every learning area presented opportunities to do this, that this epic was not an add-on to the curriculum. It was not simply baptizing the curriculum with Bible verses here and there that fitted with the different key learning areas. But that it was something that was there underlying, undergirding everything we did. And honestly, it was this writing and intentional planning that really changed my perspective on what a Christian curriculum looked like.
That's beautiful. That was mine too, actually. It was first of all doing the New Hope International training and working with teachers overseas. And then, you know, when we started developing the God's Big Story approach, just realizing what an absolute gift it is to develop curriculum that, you know, illuminates Jesus to students. So that's beautiful. Thank you so much both for your time, and thank you for being patient through the technology glitches, and look forward to seeing you soon. And just really recommend that, you know, if people are interested in looking at a range of articles on Christian education, to have a look at the new book, Revealing Jesus in the Learning Environment, from the Avondale Education Resource Centre. So thank you very much, and look forward to catching up soon.
Yeah. Thanks, Cass.
It's lovely being on here, and God bless.
Thank you, Bev.